Yes.
True.
And how was that? How's that turnover?
It was a good night. We played with The Last King, Inari, and King Pariah from New York. It's a good time.
Nice, nice. So Joe is actually, this is their second time on the show, previously when we were the Graveyard Shift.
Yes, sir.
You on, and then Nolan, this is your first time?
Yeah, first time ever on here.
And you are the vocalist of Concuntly?
I don't do any screaming vocals, but for everything singing-wise, yeah.
All the clean vocals. Yeah. And then also, you play saxophone?
I do play saxophone.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice. Very cool. And Joe on guitar and also now bass, drums, and synth?
Yeah. It's always off and on.
Excellent. And then, of course, you guys are also in Sacred Shapes.
Yes. That's what we played out as last night.
Okay. And just real quick, you can kind of explain the difference of between the two bands for the listeners.
Well, one is a lot more family friendly, gets booked a little bit more often, so we just play that. And then Concuntly's basically just returned to its basement project roots for the most part, kind of back to a solo thing, but it's still fun, just writing music basically, as always.
Excellent. So thank you for being here again. We will, you guys will be performing, I think, 4 songs this morning, so yes. Looking forward to that.
You guys actually beat us to the studio coming from Georgia.
Yeah, we did last time too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're just hanging out in the parking lot.
Man.
And so if you'd like to call in here, talk to the band, ask any questions, make any requests, numbers here are 855-915-963-6781 350-3264. As always, we are on Twitter and Facebook, Brutal Brunch Radio. And so do you guys want to jump right into a song now, or do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Alrighty.
So as they set up, we have an interesting mic setup going on, so we'll get that.
It's professional.
And which song are you guys going to do first?
We're actually going to do a cover of a 30 Seconds to Mars song called The Kill.
Ah, yes.
Most of these are going to be covers, honestly.
You guys are good to go. So again, this is Concuntly live in studio acoustic performance.
What if I wanted to break? Laugh it all off in your face. What would you do? What if I fell to the floor? Couldn't take this anymore. What would you do? Do, do. Come, break me down. And bury me. I am finished with you. What if I wanted to fight? Beg for the rest of my life. What would you do? You say you wanted more. All I waited for a night running from you. Be someone else, but nothing seemed to change. I know now this is who I really am. I finally found myself fighting for a chance. I'll know now this is who I really am. was you. What if I wanted to break?
Thanks.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. So there you go. 30 Seconds to Mars cover. That was The Kill, performed live in studio by Kankama. We have Nolan was on vocals there, Joe on acoustic guitar. Guys played a gig last night up in Manchester, now here this morning doing acoustic stuff. Just rolling right along.
Warriors.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Got work 11 to 11 after this.
Oh, no.
Brutal.
I got a full day. A
couple days.
The life of a musician.
Yeah, I know, right?
I was running around like a maniac, but that's one of my favorite songs to poorly sing along to in the car. Just go, bury me, bury
Dude, that
me.
That song is honestly such a jam.
Yeah.
It is great. I actually... I remember when it came out, I was interning at another radio station that's no longer in existence.
R.I.P.
And we would actually, I couldn't do an argument, but I once questioned their decision not to put that song on their playlist. And maybe that's why they're not on the air anymore.
That is why they're not on the air anymore.
Jared Leto's revenge.
Exactly.
Now he's the Joker.
Very bitter Joker.
He's always been the Joker.
All right, so let's talk about the band a little bit. So actually, first question, so Nolan, you weren't here last time. Can you talk about how you met up with the band and how the decision was made to, well, hey, just to join in general, but also incorporating the sax and how that kind of fits in?
Yeah, I don't know. I met Joe and Dave and all of them up like maybe like 3.5 years ago or something. I used to be in this band called Set Sail that we were all in, and then that ended up not being a thing. And then so I just kept doing musical endeavors with Dave and Joe and whatnot, and then I ended up being in Cunt Cunley, and then we ended up working out a lot. Only like within the past maybe year have I been really like singing with that stuff, but I've been doing saxophone for like a few years with Cunt Cunley, and I play bass when we play live and stuff.
Awesome. And so just to clarify, so acoustic this morning, but generally do you guys consider yourselves deathcore?
Yes.
Band genre?
Yeah, very okay. much
just
so.
Making sure.
Nice.
So...
With the sax, too?
There's some song. It's mostly non-deathcore stuff that okay. we put sax in.
We're kind of all over the place, but primarily it's internet deathcore stuff.
Nice. Good.
And so I'm trying to think, other than the band Psy, I don't know if there's another metal band I could think of with a sax. Is there?
Chicago.
Dream Theater did it once.
Oh, yeah.
On Images and Words.
Okay.
The Faceless did once.
That Faceless solo is actually insane. I was thinking that.
Other than that, I can't. Nothing comes to mind now.
Great. So, and basically, can you kind of give an update where the band is in terms of releases that you just put out, releases coming up, what you're working on right now?
That song, Holy Smokes, that you started off with is from the most recent album that came out January 17th, I believe. As far as... CC goes, I've been always writing, but sometimes it kind of hits the back burner. We're kind of focusing right now on finishing up the Sacred Shapes new EP, releasing that, playing out on that with the new songs. The past two shows we've played, we've been playing new songs finally for the first time in a little bit. So, I mean, always there's tons of stuff going on, but I think right now the primary focus is on getting the Shape stuff out and finally done.
Cool. And do you have a target date for that?
As it turns out, we're not very good with those. So I'd say my honest guess as of right now is probably mid to late April.
Okay.
I think that's a safe bet considering where we're at right now.
Cool. So definitely... looking forward to that finishing up. And do you know what's the best way for people to track that? Is it Facebook or
Facebook or our keyboardist is in charge of our Twitter and Instagram stuff, and he's doing a pretty good job with that. I kind of just threw it on him and told him to do it, so I don't look at it that much because I don't look at our own band's thing, apparently. I just realized, but I'm sure there's going to be updates on all of our social media platforms.
Cool. And speaking of upcoming releases, I think it was on the Kung Conley page, you put out a thing about, or a post about, been a while since we've done a split, thinking about setting one up where all the proceeds would go to music education.
Yes.
Is that any traction there? And kind of how do you have that
idea? I talk a lot, but I want to do it. I definitely want to do it, yeah. I hit up a few bands. I didn't get any yeses, so... I'm still on square one for that one. But I definitely want to do that. That's a cause, one of the few causes that I would consider myself passionate about. I think music education, especially in our hometown, could be a lot better. It actually is a lot better now than when I was in high school. But
was that through public schools mostly? Or?
Yeah. Draco Public Schools kind of redid their whole thing, and then it was great as soon as I graduated, which is not good for me.
Right.
But our keyboardist graduated, I think, 2 years after me, and everything just got better, basically, as soon as I left.
Cool. And yeah, that is, I know, thing in general, a lot of cuts being made in a lot of places, but there's another town, which now, of course, I'm not going to remember which city it was, so it makes for a great story, but they did basically a band day, and they had all these bands through the schools from all ages, from elementary, kindergarten, I think, to high school, and they basically had one big... day of gigs for all the bands, and they raise money for themselves for the musical education, and also for Samaritans, the
awesome.
Suicide prevention group in Boston. So it's definitely good that stuff is out there, because it is important.
Yeah.
Even if you don't go on to be a musician, it is stuff shows that it's good to
I think everyone should be exposed to it at mm-hmm. least a little bit, you know, like as much as possible during school, because like who knows what could happen. Like,
it's better to be exposed to, like, everything.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to get, like, a lot of narrow thinkers, and that's kind of
exactly.
where we're at.
Mm-hmm. And so, Nolan, where did you grow up? Did you go to the same high school?
No, I actually grew up in Hudson. I recently moved to Dracut, and I've lived in Hudson my whole life, really, and nothing too crazy there.
Cool. All right, and then let's actually... we'll table the rest of the questions. You guys want to do one more song, and then we'll switch things up.
Sure.
Play another recorded track, and then come back.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right.
If you need any backup, like I could be the pips to your Gladys Knight. I'll just go in the background.
Notice, huh? If you have like a power metal section, that's his wheelhouse. So.
You guys want to sing along? Really
all right. Which track is this going to be?
This is actually going to be another cover. It's "Lips of an Angel" by Tinder.
Ah. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, we're bringing it back to the 2000s.
This would be high school for me, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you. Steal this bag. I have to say, that was probably my favorite version of that song.
It's a really good version. Well, let you guys get set back up. What, because I noticed you guys have a lot of covers also, like, on your Bandcamp page and on your Facebook. What makes you pick the covers you pick?
Just loving the song.
That's good.
A passion for the song, honestly. That song is such an anthem.
It is. Yeah. Great, fantastic.
Yeah, I feel like that comes through, because some bands will do covers, and it's like, why? I don't want any
ironic covers.
Yeah.
So it's, and so I guess, is that indicative of your influences then?
I'd actually say that the vocalist at Hinder does have, like, definitely some influence on my voice. I love his voice, honestly.
We were going to go see him play some random dive bar somewhere in Billerica, I think, but he canceled, like, the tour literally the day before that show. We were upset.
Heartbroken.
Lame. There's any going to be rescheduled or anything like that? Or you guys just had a look?
He claims that it's going to be rescheduled after he finishes writing some album or whatever, but we're not that big of fans to actually really know. So, I was the one who actually found out about the thing, and it was just a random, like, sponsored Facebook thing. The voice of Hinder is coming to Billerica. And then I was like, oh, that's actually sick, though. So we should probably go to that. And then it got canceled, so R.I.P.
Sad.
That is too bad. Yeah. So in terms of, I guess, can you talk a little bit about the scene and how it is since we last talked, and getting gigs booked and good places to play? Is it kind of different? Because I know that a lot of the metal scene, kind of historically, if you go back with metalcore, and even today, there's a huge kind of central mass, western mass thing going on. And what kind of regionally, any differences?
Right now, we've been playing Manchester a lot. I think the last four times we've played has been at the same place, which is both a good and bad thing. Good because you start getting acquainted with regulars, and bad because the fear of overplaying. However, we've been playing with some really cool guys recently. The guys in The Last King and the guys in Don't Cross the Streams, I would consider friends of ours, you know. Being in bands is kind of like, it is a whole social thing to it as well. And I think we're doing all right as a scene right now. I think overall it definitely used to be a little bit better, especially in New Hampshire, but with the downfall of some local venues, the downfall of some local promoters, and their, I'm trying to think of a way to put that. Well, we won't get into that.
Okay. I'm totally blanking on it. It was a little while ago now. With the Anchor, is that, what was the venue?
That was Anchor's Up. That was in Massachusetts. That closed, right?
Yeah, that one got shut down, I believe, for basically gang-related something, I'm pretty sure. Someone got, like, beaten almost to death, like, outside the venue, and it was, we played there a few times back in the day, and it was always fine, but we always kind of at least attempt to stay out of trouble, so if there was gang stuff going on, we wouldn't honestly know. We heard some ugly things that could, to this day, still potentially be rumors. We never really tried to figure it out. The venue shut down. That's the worst part. There's no point at this point in trying to figure that out. And then another venue that we used to play, Rocco's in Manchester, got sold and then recently busted for, how much money was it?
I think it was like $1.6 million in like a meth seize or something.
Wow.
Like that.
Nice.
It's just kind of heartbreaking because we used to play there and it was fun. We played there with national acts like somewhat often, and now it's just complete mess.
I don't even
mess.
Know if that place has anything open there anymore.
We drive by there to go to the new venue, and every time we're, I was just like, oh, there's Arco.
Yeah. it's too bad. I mean, I think things have slowed down a little bit in Boston, but there was a period there too where well-known venues too were closing down. So,
or like changing, where like even like the guys from the Middle East are opening their like kind of like higher end room, or whatever.
Yeah,
like
TT the Bears, TT's and Johnny D's.
But then weirder places are opening, right? Like Kodo in Salem, which is like a Chinese restaurant that has a stage.
Yeah, have you guys played there?
No,
Kodo in Salem.
No, I've never even heard of that.
Plagues is there
Salem
tonight.
Mass?
Yeah,
Yeah, Salem Mass.
It's like a fusion sushi restaurant with a stage. And a lot of black metal out there.
Yeah.
Heavy bands play there.
You get like an orange chicken and there's like a big pentagram on the stage.
That's awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
All right, so we are about halfway through the show here. Again, we have Concutently Live in studio. We've got a couple more songs we're going to do live. If you want to call in, number is 855-915-9636, 781-350-3264. So you guys brought in a USB. Is this the USB that's for sale? That has like your complete discography and everything on it?
Yes, it has all 35 albums, 8 singles, including the bonus tracks, and then over 100 demos, live recordings, the interviews, including the one we did here last time, and music videos, all sorts of stuff.
And hey, that is a prolific amount of tracks. How do you keep things fresh and keep going?
I listen to a lot of different stuff, so I try to not replicate, but it definitely shows in some of the stuff that I do. It's a little different. A thing that I try to do sometimes is fuse together two different genres or two different styles from two different bands and then still try to make it original. I mean, there's 35 albums. Some of this stuff is obviously redundant and repeating of itself. However, I think I'd try my best to keep things fresh. What's important to me is trying to write stuff that I want to listen to and not what I think other people want to listen to. It's my favorite band because it's exactly what I want to hear. But I think the USBs so far have gotten a pretty good reaction. They're almost sold out, actually. So people have been picking up on it, so that's been good.
Awesome. All right, so let's play a track off that. We can play something that you've done or a band that track these from another band that you particularly enjoy. You can play anything else on here.
You can,
any clean track on here that we can play?
We have one of Nolan's solo songs on there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that track in the top right corner.
I can't take it?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, so you don't want to intro it real quick?
I just do a solo thing in my bedroom also. It's called Nolan Gregg, but it's spelled kind of funky. It's G-R-Z-E-G.
Okay.
And I just have one EP out right now. It came out in like end of November. And that's the single off of it.
All right, so this is I Can Take It. But Nolan Gregg is the, yeah. That's how you go by?
Yeah.
Nolan Gregg and
not Grizzegg.
Right.
All right.
Despite popular belief.
It's a good thing that's not on our concert list because that's how we would pronounce it.
That's how we say it.
All right, so this is I Can Take It on Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
I'm
right. And that was I Can't Take It by Nolan Gregg, that off your No One's Listening EP.
Yep.
And that is Nolan's solo project. Again, Nolan here live in studio along with Joe from Cunt Huntley and Sacred Shapes. And they will also be playing a couple more songs acoustic live in studio. So let's just talk real quick about that project, Nolan. So how long is or when did you record that EP?
It honestly was like a year and a half in the making, just like working on my production skills and writing skills, just messing around behind my computer in my room for a long time. And then it took me up until about like maybe September where I was like, I think I have enough material that I like enough that I want to put it together and finally get my name out there. And it was a long idea. It was like a long time idea in my head, but eventually in November or September, I was just like, I'm gonna release this by the end of the year, definitely. And then just recently, I put it on iTunes and Spotify and stuff, so you can stream it there and whatnot. And I'm always trying to write stuff pertaining to what I'm currently listening to. And right now, I got a couple songs in the making. And that's about it. Yeah, there's not too much to it. It's still pretty fresh out of the box.
Sure. And have you done any tours or appearances or anything?
No, actually, Joe and I have done like two acoustic things. This is our third time ever performing. It's just us doing acoustic stuff, and my third time singing out and stuff. I did like a couple things like 3-4 years back with a buddy of mine, Alex Pereira. We would just play backyard acoustic shows, just like messing around. Mm-hmm. But I never really gigged out singing too much, and I'm starting to do it now.
Awesome. Yeah. And is there, I mean, I'm not, obviously, been very clear that I'm not a musician myself or a singer, but do you guys have, is it hard at all to kind of switch between styles? Because even within the band, you play so many different styles, your solo project, doing acoustic here, then the deathcore. Like, is it kind of a seamless transition, or does it take, is it a different mindset or anything?
Maybe a surprise. I don't write too much metal almost at all. It's almost all Joe, honestly. Nice. I don't do too much metal.
Writing, it can be difficult sometimes because what I do is I'll write for an extended period of time, kind of one sort of thing. So if I'm going from metal stuff to less metal stuff, it could be sometimes a little confusing. It might take a little bit longer to get something out on paper that I like. But overall, like I said earlier, I think what's important is listening to stuff in all genres. I think as a musician and as a person, that broadens your horizons a lot. So it's not too difficult. It can get a little scratchy sometimes, but for the most part, I think it's all right. Performing, it's just memory, honestly.
Sure.
What you guys both said, like, basically a lot of what you're writing right now is influenced by kind of what you're listening to at the moment. What are you both listening to kind of generally?
I listened to a lot of Panic at the Disco.
Okay.
They're probably my favorite band. Been really into this band, The Deer Hunter, lately. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely incredible. I listened to a lot of The Neighborhood. That last track that you played, I Can't Take It, was The Neighborhood was mainly the influence. And those are the top three. I listen to a lot of, like, just pop. I'm just, like,
sure.
Pop loser.
Is Deer Hunter, are they the ones with that? Because I feel that there's, like, three bands with deer in them. Are those the ones that just released the album? That's, like, one of a series?
Yeah, like, okay. Acts 1-5. Yep. Yeah, incredible band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're insane. That's the only word I can think to use it. Their composition skills are
out of this world.
Above and beyond so many artists. Uh-huh. It's ridiculous, truly.
Yeah, that was a good album they put out last year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They have this album called The Color Spectrum, and it's like 36 songs on it.
Okay.
And like, there's 4 songs per color of each, like, so it's like black, red, orange, yellow, like all the way down. You gotta capture the color in the songs. It's really, it works. It just works. It sounds so good.
That's awesome. And, Joe, I know last time we talked a little bit about kind of this whole Sumerian sound. Are you a fan of the...
Yes.
I got tricked. I didn't realize that the Spawn of Osiris EP was just kind of mostly remasters of older stuff.
Oh, well,
but how do you like how it came out?
They completely re-recorded it. I actually had a... since last time, I recorded and covered that whole album myself, actually.
Oh, wow.
Which I had a guitar lesson thing with... it was more of like a meet and greet type deal, but I got to jam with Lee, actually. just even like a week ago, and I told him it was the best and worst idea I ever had. The best idea, because I got to cover the album, it was fun, a lot of people picked up on it. It was the worst idea because you know how some elitists can be. don't touch my favorite band's album, this and that. People, there's a few comments I read on some like Russian forum I had to translate, and people telling me that I should kill myself and like this and that, and I was like,
it's worse in Cyrillic too, it like hurts more.
You know, calm down. Like, I covered an album by a band that's one of my favorites and getting all sorts of hate.
That sucks.
And what is the deal? Because I know that, I think we talked about this before, and also a big brouhaha over the new Suicide Silence album and their vocal style and stuff like that. How do you feel about the whole attitude towards deathcore and then like the trolling and all that?
At first, I was completely on their side. Honestly, I thought everyone was overreacting, and then I listened to it. I gave it an honest shot. I listened to it twice, maybe even debatably three times while working. And, I mean, it's not that I disrespect them. The Suicide Silence, how could you? They're touring musicians and sell out shows. You can't talk down on them. However, their whole attitude behind the album was basically almost to piss people off on purpose. But not piss them off as in, like, get them riled up and angry and thinking about something. Literally to just make them mad.
Yeah. And
the way that they're going about it seems, to me, a little off-putting. It seems like they want all sorts of negative attention, which, in my opinion, should not be what that's about. The new album, for what it's worth, in my opinion, is not good. But it's Suicide Silence. I hope they come back with a stronger effort and I don't want to say a better attitude, but maybe open up their eyes. I think they should sit back and take a look around at what they're doing currently. They're alienating all sorts of fans. It's important to stay true, to write what you want. However, at the same time, I also feel like they should have thought this one out a little.
Sure.
Like, I've heard them saying, like, there's one track on the new album that I heard them intro on, whatever, on the satellite radio, where they said, we intentionally put this track out to, like, trick the label to put this album out, so it's, like, heavier than every other song on the album. And it seems like they're just kind of, like, I don't know, like you were saying, like, they're, like, poking fun at their own fan base, or, like...
Yeah, but that's okay to do. However, I feel like they wasted so much time and effort on this just to prove a point that wasn't even worth proving in the first point.
Right.
I think it was a bunch of wasted time to say something that didn't even land well in the first place.
Makes sense.
And do you think that scene in particular, just I feel like there was a band now, of course, I'm forgetting which ones claim that deathcore is dead, and mentioned one or two specific bands that were still good, but like, and I know that the fans kind of get, whether it's about the Suicide Silence thing or just if bands change, some people get argue about who's more legitimate, throwing around bands like Die Hard is Murder or Casey Estrain, things like that. Is that unique to deathcore, or do you think it's just kind of like every other genre, but it gets pronounced because it's metal and that kind of subject matter?
I see it happening a lot all over the place, okay. But I see it happening the most in deathcore, and then basically like 80s metal, like Pantera fans in particular, can oftentimes be absolutely and totally insufferable. But it's the same with deathcore fans, honestly. I notice it a lot. I'm sure you're involved in all the forums, what is now the new pure deathcore, all the metal and core forums, this and that, blah blah blah. I just try and look at the negativity that some of these kids have and just, I mean, at least they're passionate about it. Mm-hmm. They care whether or not they're being basically a brat or not. It's not important for the most part. They're passionate about it. They're talking about it. Even if they're just hating on a certain band forever, which is sometimes is just a complete circle jerk of people hating on certain things, it's promotion at the end of the day.
Sure. All right. So, let's, you guys want to jump into your last few songs? Actually, Noel, I know that you wanted to give some shout-outs first.
Oh, yeah. I want to thank Gunnar Green for coming with us. He's actually with us here. He came to take some photos of us. I really appreciate it. I bought him a bagel this morning, but it's not enough to thank him. I'd also like to give a shout-out to my mom. She's listening right now. My Uncle John and Matt Crossan. My old English teacher. He's listening right now, too.
Awesome.
Oh, neat.
I want to say hi to Paul. Paul Sullivan, if you're out there. What's up?
All right, so we're going to jump into... this is actually the first time I've ever played this song live. It's the title track off of No One's Listening. And, yeah, it's just a little acoustic performance of it.
All right. So, again, this is Nolan's own... project.
All right.
Yes, it was.
Live acoustic performance there on Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM.
And if you can't tell, we're a fan of covers already. We're going to do one more cover, and it's by Panic at the Disco. It's called That Green Gentleman off their album Pretty Odd.
Excellent. That was awesome. Thank you very much. So then was That Green Gentleman, Panic at the Disco cover by Con Conley, live here in the studios, acoustic. And we'll now say goodbye to our guests here. So Nolan and Joe, again, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, that was awesome. Again, this was our first ever live in-studio performance. Do you guys have any parting words for about anything, about your projects, how to keep in touch, social media, websites, that sort of thing?
Facebook stuff.
Yeah, you can follow my solo stuff, any social media platform, basically. It's just at Nolan Gregg, NolanGrzeg. And that's about it. Keep up with my music stuff, and I'll hopefully be gigging soon.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Since there's 3 minutes left, and I'm just going to play this raw in the background so you guys can talk, but we didn't get to it, so I'm pretty sad about it.
Oh, yeah.
But usually metal history always ends with some sort of power metal song, and this is a good one, and I'm pretty sad that it's broken. But March 14, 2012, Powerwolf releases their album Alive in the Night, and this is Saturday Satan off that, which you guys, it's just going to sound like crap, but... All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to play things out. We're going to do the Megadeth cover, Hangar 18.
Awesome.
This is Con Conley. What made you decide to cover this?
I love this. Rest in peace.
All right. Bless. Excellent. So stay tuned for Mike on the Mic. We will be back in 2 weeks here at Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And we're going to fade that out right there. Welcome back live here on Brutal Brunch on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. That was our in-studio interview and performance with Joe DeSalvo and Nolan Gregg. So just a couple takeaways from that was, so first of all, as we mentioned, that was Joe's second appearance. He had previously been on the Graveyard Shift back when this show was during the week, during the night. So since that interview, his band Con Conley is now known as the Kelly Criterion. Sacred Shapes still also around, waiting for new music from both of those guys. Kelly Criterion has been active mostly on Instagram, but new artwork is in, new songs are being made, so we are waiting for that to come out. And Nolan Gregg has renamed his solo project to You're Fired, which you can now see on social media as You're Fired. That's U-R-F-I-R-E-D-M-A, so You're Fired Mass. And he had an EP drop on August 11th, which you can check out on Bandcamp, yourfired.bandcamp.com. Again, that's You Are Fired. And he will be performing a gig coming up on October 22nd. That is in a few weeks. That'll be at Out of the Blue 2 Art Gallery on Mass Ave in Cambridge. And he'll be playing along with Morning Bird, Exits, and Real Talk. That show is all ages. So again, you can check him out. Also, some things we touched on during the interview. So first of all, there was a rookie mistake there, if you noticed. Voodoo, our intro background music, our bed, was playing in the background while they were performing The Kill live. So apologies for that. Also, the program that we mentioned that raised money for schools, for musical education, and other causes, it is the Plugged In Band program, which is in Needham. And they raise funds with their Live Long and Rock On performance. They also raise money for Samaritans, the suicide prevention group in Boston, with that show. Also, a fun little anecdote on Wikipedia about that Suicide Silence album, which was self-titled. But according, one interesting thing to note, we talked about how a lot of people are not happy with how things turned out. And fan backlash to Suicide Silence's perceived drastic change in musical style was overwhelming, to the point that a Change.org petition calling for the album's release to be halted amassed over 5,000 signatures from disgruntled fans. And the album did indeed come out, which you can listen to. But the first week sales were down something like 70% from their first release. So we'll see if they can recover in the future. Also, there was you heard Matt reference it, that things broke down once again. A lot of glitches going on throughout the history of the show. But Metal History had to be skipped and cut out of that re-air because it really didn't happen. And as we said on that show, we'll be back in 2 weeks, which is perfect timing now because we will indeed be back in 2 weeks since we are now alternating 9 to 11 a.m. on Sundays. Now, one more thing to get to before we play our final song is some of the things we have coming up, including Matt's first stab at production. And that went a little bit something like this. So this is up to you. Do you want to unveil your production now, or should we wait till you're back in a couple weeks and we do our
Unveil my production now.
Okay.
because it's so good and I want to tease the listener.
Ooh, okay. But yeah, so we got that cut. So when we're here, when both of us are here, we'll be debuting the Brutal Brunch Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
We'll be inducting an album, we decided.
Much like Wrestler of the Week, it's not, well, first of all, it's not an objective list. It's a subjective list. Yes. There's no such thing as objectivity.
I think like a good way to kind of describe how it will be is if we induct a Metallica album, it'll be more likely to be Saint Anger rather than Master of Puppets.
Yeah, like an album that's like, this is us. This is Brutal Brunch. This is not... Sure, people can say that they didn't like Saint Anger, but that's not what Brutal Brunch says. They say they liked Saint Anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is perfect. That is a perfect description of what that segment is going to
be. There you go. So we'll do that. We'll still have Wrestler of the Week.
They're going to be like Kadima again.
The return of Brutal Brunch. or the Brutal Brunch. The return of Brutal or Not Brutal.
Pig Squeal of the Week.
We'll see if we get Pig Squeal of the Week. Maybe some games. You already have an idea for a game.
I had an idea for a game.
And so, yeah, all that good stuff. Yet to come this fall. Next week, I will be here. Matt will not be. It is the first weekend of October, meaning those spooky things are going to be starting.
Maybe we should have John on.
He can do it.
He can do it.
Yeah.
That guy's ready to rock 24 hours a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, to tease the Hall of Fame, do you have it queued up, Ardini?
I would like you to queue it up, please, because I can't do anything on this.
Let me see if we can do standby.
So, yeah. This is
so we decided we're gonna do the Hall of Fame. So we had the we sketched out a schedule.
Yep.
And Matt sent me some files.
I got Audacity.
I did an intro.
And I did an intro.
And I was like, you didn't have the correct codec for Audacity. This is very technical terms for people in the industry. Audacity, which is a great program, I recommend it for all aspiring.
It's great.
Producers.
Yeah, it's very easy actually.
Shareware.
Because I'm an idiot, and I
have this file, but I can't make it a song. So he sent me the files over Dropbox, but it doesn't work that way because Audacity has all these like data files and stuff you need.
Yeah, it's like a 4 gig mess.
I sent him the URL to the very sketchy looking website where you can download the correct
That
stuff
guy's
you
website
need.
Is hilarious. That's but, lame or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, a lot of people think this is a virus, but I want to say it's definitely not a virus.
Which is true. It's legit.
Seems like a virus.
Like Audacity gives you that link. They like download this thing so we can make MP3s for you.
Yeah.
So Matt got the codec.
I did it.
To make MP3s. And this is what happened. Ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Oh, yeah.
Matt actually recorded this on his own guitar?
Yeah.
This is a slow burn. Just wave. Took the branding. That was Maggie's solo.
Yeah, that's me getting solo.
Only on Brutal Brunch, 91.5 WMFO.
So there you go. That's the big tease.
That's right. I was also the clown voice in Death Clock.
So I guess we'll do that in 3 weeks. We'll have our first inductee. And so stay tuned for that. But that was we'll be playing that hopefully up there with our Metal History intro and our Pig Squeal of the Week intro and maybe our Wrestler of the Week's got
Yeah, the Wrestler of the Week intro I might work on today.
There
I was
you go.
Having a lot of fun picking out stuff to throw in
excellent.
Audacity.
Excellent. So yes, in 2 weeks we'll be back on October 15th to induct our first album into the Brutal Brunch, or as Matt put in his little intro, the Metal History Hall of Fame. We've had a lot of specials along the way. Matt mentioned John in there, who did not co-host today, but John Corbett filled in one day when Matt was out, and we talked about wrestling and nu metal. It was a good time. We also had my friend Pat on one day for a Chester Bennington tribute that was following Chester's suicide. We had our infamous post-inauguration Women's March kind of politically venting song. We did a cover. We played a song by a band called BP and the Floodies. That was Jason Flood, who was also lost to suicide this week. He was from New Hampshire, so we played his band covering Foo Fighters' Monkey Wrench. And that interview, or that, not that interview, but that feature, was listened to and complimented on by Dickie Barrett of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. We also did a Pride Month thing where we played a song every week from members of the LGBT community. Women's sports has been a big focus on the show. Got props from one of the shows that followed us one time for our focus on women's sports, particularly hockey. A lot of wrestling, which we didn't really... We referenced the Alex Riley theme song this morning on our clip show. So there will be a lot more wrestling and, of course, horror movies that we get mad at each other about coming in the future. And again, debuting... We'll probably be re-debuting the Pig Squirrel of the Week in 2 weeks and debuting the Hall of Fame. So stay tuned for that. Now, coming up at the top of the hour will be Detox Mansion, so stay tuned, and gonna play you out. We played September Nights for our Black Metal Song of the Week, and more fitting now, we're gonna play you the song October by the now-defunct Massachusetts metal band Abandoner. This was off their Arise EP, but we will be back in 2 weeks. See you on October 15th. Until then, stay brutal.